Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex B. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by Boston Hemp Inc. Saturday, May the 4th. May the 4th be with you if you're a Star Wars fan. That's what today is. Ian Cameron with you, ready to break it down. Well, from Star Wars to Ice Wars, and we are probably going to have a legitimate Ice War tonight in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. There's nothing like it. The two best words in sports. Game 7, Toronto Maple Leafs, Boston Bruins tonight, and we wouldn't have it any other way. We wouldn't have it any other way. Alex B. Smith has decided to sit this one out today. And really, it's because he's got nothing to offer. He really doesn't. He really told me he has nothing to offer this show as far as ways to attack Game 7. He's not betting anything pregame. And, you know, he's already set for tonight. And he mentioned it yesterday. You know, he's already cashed the 7-game series prop, which I also had in this Leafs-Bruins series. He's got Toronto to win in 7. He's got Boston to win in 7, both at a big plus price. He's going to win one of them. He's really got no involvement with this individual game tonight. So Alex will be back with us tomorrow. Again, we do have a Sunday show, obviously, tomorrow at noon. Alex, me, and Zach Urban is going to be with us tomorrow as well on Sunday. And by the way, it's been announced as far as the Sunday schedule. Game 1, first game of the second round will take place tomorrow. Game 1 of the Carolina Hurricanes New York Rangers series, 4 p.m. Eastern at Madison Square Garden tomorrow. And as we'll get to in a moment, by virtue of Vegas's victory last night, Game 7 with the Vegas Golden Knights and Dallas Stars, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. And I believe they've also announced that Edmonton-Vancouver will begin Tuesday night in Vancouver at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. We should know the second round schedule by tonight or by tomorrow night after the Vegas Dallas game ends, but just know, because we're going to schedule the betcast on the fly, but we are going to have a betcast either Monday or Tuesday, probably more likely to be Tuesday, but I don't want to confirm that or set it in stone just yet. So that's where we stand with that, but we will have our first second round Stanley Cup playoffs live betcast either Monday or Tuesday. Like I said, as of now, it's probably more likely to be Tuesday. And this one will be a free-for-all betcast. It will be public, free-for-all. And then we'll announce the remainder of the betcasts for the second round. After that, there'll be another couple that are Patreon exclusive. So we'll get to all that, but we will have a Monday or Tuesday betcast in the second round. Like I said, as of right now, more likely to be Tuesday. All right, let's look back at last night. We had two game sixes. Congratulations to the Vancouver Canucks. Congratulations to Rich H., one of our best viewers and listeners of the show, Ice Guys family members, big Canucks fan out there in Vancouver. They got the job done. 1-0 victory over the Nashville Predators last night. It was one of those games where there was just not very much room, not very much open ice out there. And it was just going to be a matter of which team was going to get, you know, a break, which team was going to capitalize on a chance and find a way to finish. Even though it was tough sledding, even though it was very dangerous, tough to find open space to make plays with the puck last night. And eventually it ended up being Pius Suter with 1:39 left in the third period to get Vancouver the first goal of the game. And ultimately the game-winning and series-winning goal last night. And I'll tell you what, he really deserved a goal. And it's fitting that he got the game-winner and the series-winner. You could make a good argument. He was the best Vancouver Canuck forward last night. Pius Suter had like 3, 4, or 5 glorious chances in that hockey game last night. And he could have probably scored a couple before he eventually found that 1-0 goal. So Pius Suter eventually ends up beating Saros, who was great. And, of course, so was the winning goaltender, proving Rick Tocchet right, that he made the smart, correct decision to start him instead of Casey DeSmith. And I said this last night. I am not sure Vancouver wins that game if Casey DeSmith's in net. Now, maybe they still would have. Maybe Casey DeSmith plays great and he's able, you know, to still win that game for the Canucks. But the way Artur Shelov's played, the Latvian netminder, he was outstanding. And he seems to keep getting better, more comfortable. And at this point, you know, with what we've seen from him in this series, I think it's fair to say this guy's an NHL goalie. Now, is he a number one goalie or is he a very good backup goalie? I don't think we're at that stage just yet to make that determination. But we know he can play at the NHL level now after what we've seen here in this series from Shelovs. He's been very good, in my opinion, no question. He made timely saves, big-time stops to keep that game scoreless when it was. The effort he had, and really the effort of the entire Vancouver team, because that final 30 seconds, Nashville was swarming to try to tie that game, but Tyler Myers with an epic block shot with about 20 seconds left, where if he doesn't get his body in front of that puck, might be 1-1, and then who knows what happens if the game goes to overtime. But big-time shot block by the Chaos Giraffe. Outstanding net minding all night by Shelovs. Another solid defensive effort as a team from the Vancouver Canucks. And they end up getting the 1-0 win, and they advance to the second round. We should acknowledge, great, great season, though, for the Nashville Predators. And a great second half when, at the time before they went on that monster run, you know, at the time when they canceled the U2 concert, which was really when that run started to get Nashville firmly into the playoffs. We weren't even sure they were going to make the playoffs before that run. And they had that great run. It got them into the playoffs. They had a tremendous second half of the season. And they played Vancouver very tough. This was a very close series. Yes, Vancouver wins in six. It doesn't go to game seven. But this was a very, very close series. Shout out to the Nashville Predators for a terrific season. But Vancouver, look, they got tested. They had, you know, that was a tough pill to swallow, not being able to close out the series in game five in Vancouver, to go back to Nashville, stay patient. You know, they didn't press for offense. They stayed patient. They stayed in their team game. They stayed in their structure. They continued to, you know, try to make life as easy as possible for their goalie. And then when there was breakdowns and when there was defensive calamities, you know, Artur Shelovs was there, you know, to clean it up. So congratulations to Vancouver. But I have to caution Vancouver and Canucks fans. For a majority of that series, you know, the run of play was going against you. For a portion of that series, your power play was non-existent. For a portion of that series, a big portion of that series, you had trouble generating shots on goal and scoring chances and ultimately offense. And there were times in that series you felt like you were playing in first gear or second gear. You're going to need to get up to third gear and fourth gear in a hurry with what's on the horizon. And that is the Edmonton Oilers in the second round. So, look, I know what Rick Tocchet's going to want this team to do. This is going to be this classic high-flying Oilers team, you know, that can light you up and score 4, 5, or 6 on any given night versus a Vancouver team that's going to be looking to just muck it up 1-3-1, make it difficult to generate, you know, speed and momentum through the neutral zone. That's going to be the MO for Vancouver, and get the goalie to save a game or two, whether it's a returning the specter of Thatcher Demko looms large over this series. What the fuck is the update for him? You know, is he going to be back in this series? Is he going to be back at any point in this series? Or are the rumblings true that, you know, no one's made a confirmation yet about what's up with Demko, you know, or is this season done, which has also been rumored to be true? So that's still lying out there. And, you know, if Demko's done for the season, you're going to have to rely on this kid who I think now it's gotten to the point now with Shelovs that he's going to be the guy moving forward unless he gets injured and unless Demko comes back. If Demko doesn't come back, though, Artur Shelovs is now the guy. He's now the guy, and Casey DeSmith probably only gets in net if Shelovs gets injured or if Shelovs really starts to struggle in that Edmonton series. So should be fascinating. It's that great chess match. Team that's playing some good defensive hockey right now, Vancouver, versus this Oilers team. We'll get more into that, obviously, in a few days. We'll preview the series more in depth, probably on Monday or Tuesday. But Vancouver, on to the second round. In the other game last night, look, I was hoping Dallas would end it. You know, it's never the best thing in the world to test your, say that, you know what, we've got game seven at home. If we lose, so be it. It's when you have an opportunity to put your foot on the throat of an opponent and finish a series, you should always take that opportunity. Dallas didn't take that opportunity. But you got to give Vegas a ton of credit. You can tell right away, especially when you saw some of these mediocre performances on home ice that the Golden Knights had in game three and in game four. But you could tell right away that Vegas was ready. Vegas was not ready to let their season end on home ice. Their chance to repeat as Stanley Cup champions end on home ice. It was a good first period from them. You look at as the game went on. I thought Dallas, though, they did have their chances. And that's where you got to salute Aiden Hill. You know, the saves he made on Tyler Seguin, although I think some of that's a product of Seguin's lack of confidence right now because he's had a boatload of chances and can't buy a goal right now for Dallas. But that was definitely as close to an Aiden Hill performance as anything we saw last year. You know, I don't think it was quite yet at that level last year, but it was certainly better than the Aiden Hill we've seen much of this year. You know, he stepped up. The whole team stepped up. It was a much better performance. They were pretty disciplined in that game. They remained patient, even though it was no score. There was no pressing, you know, knowing, hey, this game's still scoreless. We're playing a solid game here. We've got to, you know, pinch and we've got to start taking risks, taking chances to try to get this first goal. They never did. You know, they stayed within themselves, and that was really good to see. They just waited, and eventually they capitalized. And a great play by Noah Hanifin, and a even better call by Jimmy Murphy yesterday on the Beantown Friday edition of the show to use Noah Hanifin as his bargain bin special of the night. Tremendous call by Jimmy. Plus 800 for Noah Hanifin to score a goal last night. He gets the first goal, which proved to be the game winner. What was disappointing for me, and I was pretty upset with the way Dallas played at times, getting outplayed, but what really disappointed me was when that game was still there, hanging in the balance when it was 1-0 Vegas late in the third. Dallas is trying to pull Jake Oettinger, get the extra attacker. Dallas lost every puck battle. And Vegas like hemmed them in the zone for like an extra 45 seconds to a minute. And I'm like, you guys really are just, you know, kind of just saying, you know what, resigning yourself to game seven, you know, on home ice. So that kind of disappointed me. I mean, I just didn't love what I saw from Dallas in those final few minutes. They just let Vegas win every puck battle, win every loose puck, win every foot race situation, and basically cost Dallas, you know, a lot more time to be able to try to tie that game. Moot point anyway, because eventually it goes into the empty net. But credit to Vegas, you know, hearts of champions. We always talk about this. Sometimes these teams that have that winning pedigree, it's tough to finish them off. And Vegas found a way last night, and that sets up another great game seven. You know, we're going to have two game sevens now here in the first round. This hasn't been the greatest first round if you're talking about entertainment standpoint. We've had a lot of blowouts. We had a sweep with the Rangers. We've had a lot of five-game series. This hasn't been the most competitive, compelling first round by any stretch of the imagination. But certainly we are going to have two game sevens this weekend, including Vegas-Dallas tomorrow night, Sunday night. I mean, should be a great way to wrap up the first round. And now it's simple for Dallas. You know, you've got home ice. You're the number one seed in the West. You finally won a home game, and you played a great home game in game five. Go out there and win a home game. Go out there and win a game seven on your home ice. Go out there and rely on winning a game with a head coach that's undefeated in game sevens, and that's Peter DeBoer. 7-0 in game sevens as a head coach. And this includes New Jersey, San Jose, Vegas, of course, his previous team, and the one he's trying to beat, his old team, and Dallas. And, of course, Dallas did win their only Game 7 last year in the Stanley Cup playoffs, winning Game 7 against the Seattle Kraken, also on home ice, I might add. So, like I said, they got a coach that knows how to win Game 7s. They have a coach that knows how to prepare his team to properly to put themselves in the best position to win in game seven. So we'll see how it goes, but that's a hell of a game tomorrow night. I will say that. And even with that Peter DeBoer stat on Dallas's side and Dallas's favor, This is the defending Stanley Cup champions, and man, they just know how to fucking get it done. They do, and it's not going to be easy, and it's going to be one hell of a battle Sunday night, Game 7, with the Stars and the Golden Knights. And look, I think a big key to the game, too, was for the first time in quite a while, Wyatt Johnston was very quiet. I mean, I took every prop for Wyatt Johnston. None of them hit. Even the shots on goal, he fell short last night in that game. So should be interesting to see how it plays out. But like I said, Game 7 tomorrow night, Golden Knights Stars. It's been an incredible series. It's been phenomenal hockey. To be honest, I don't want the series to end. Dallas-Vegas has been an outstanding series. The hockey has been so good. It's had a little bit of everything. Physicality, animosity, great goals, great goaltending, particularly from Ottinger most of the series. Logan Thompson earlier in the series was standing on his head. So it's been a phenomenal series, and it's fitting that we're going to see a Game 7 there Sunday night with the Golden Knights and the Stars. All right, let's turn our attention to tonight. One game on the marquee, one game, national TV spotlight, 8 p.m. Eastern, both sides of the border, Sportsnet in Canada, ABC in the U.S., network television, Sean McDonough, Ray Ferraro, Emily Kaplan in Boston on ABC. Cannot wait. What can you say? There is no shortage of storylines here. Game 7, Toronto Maple Leafs, Boston Bruins, Boston minus 130, home favorites. The total, 5.5, shaded to the under, heavily shaded to the under now. We're talking minus 145, shaded to the under here at 5.5. Winner take all. I mean, the storylines are aplenty. Let's start with the fact that this is a Saturday night choke-off. As I said yesterday on the show, that's what this is. It's not a Saturday night face-off. It's a Saturday night choke-off. Which team's going to choke again? Which team is going to choke again in the big spot? That's what this boils down to. Well, which team's going to absolutely rise up, you know, exercise some demons, find a way to get it done, and advance to the second round? On the Toronto Maple Leafs side, the futility is very real. They've lost every Game 7 to the Boston Bruins in the last decade in this building. 0-3 against Boston in Game 7s this decade, and 0-3, all of them at the TD Garden in Boston, by the way. 2013, I shouldn't say the last decade, the last 11 years. 2013, 2018, 2019. Three straight Game 7s with these two teams those seasons. Boston won them all in Game 7. However, and Toronto, by the way, 0-6 in their last six Game 7s overall, which is just hard to fathom. It's just such a bad stat to have in a game of this magnitude. But then you flip it around, and Boston, how about their, you know, concerns about the ability to get the job done in the clutch? Boston comes into tonight 0-6 in their last six series clinching games. They had 2 years ago, they had a clinching game against Carolina. They lost. Last year, three straight series clinching games against Florida to blow a 3-1 series lead. They lost. So that's 0-4 right there. And then the last two games of this series against Toronto, Game 5 and Game 6. There's your 0-6 in the last six series clinching games for the Boston Bruins. So, like I said, that's what makes this so incredibly fun to watch tonight. And just, you know, who is going to have the fucking cojones? This is not a matter of skill. This is not a matter of not just playing well. It's a matter of will. This is a matter of how bad do you want to get to the second round? What are you willing to do? What are you willing to do? How much of a price are you willing to fucking pay to win tonight on both sides? I think Toronto, based on what I've seen the last two games, they have reached a level that proves to me they are willing to pay a price to win. They have already shown to me that this group has come together and rallied around what looked like an impossible situation for them when they were down 3-1 in this series and without Austin Matthews for the last two games. They have galvanized things. They have rallied together. They have come together as a team, and they have put together two consecutive, strong, hard-ass hockey, physical, defensively responsible in all three zones, willing to change their approach. And that's another thing I got to credit Sheldon Keefe, Guy Boucher, Dean Chenault, Mike Van Ryan, and everyone else on that Leaf coaching staff. I have to credit them. They aren't a trap team. They aren't a check, defense first team. They've never been that, especially under this core with Matthews, Nylander, Marner, and company. They have never been that kind of team. They realized with Matthews out and with where they're at in the series, and here's another thing, too, that they realized that maybe we got to go with a defense first style, trap in the neutral zone. 1-3-1 is, by the way, you watch the Leafs the last two games, that's how they're playing. They're playing 1-3-1 hockey, clog up the neutral zone hockey, keep everything to the outside. That's the way they're playing. I never in a million years would have thought the Leafs would play this way on a game-in and game-out basis, but they are. And it's what's got them back into the series. And you know why they've decided to play this way, this coaching staff? Because they can't score goals. Their bread and butter has evaporated. Totally evaporated in this series. The power play that's been so good in the regular season can't do jack shit in this series. Can't do fuck all. Can't do dick all in this series. Power play has been atrocious. It's still sitting at, what, 1-for-20 in the series coming into the game 7? It's hard to believe they're actually still in this series and still have a chance to win in a game 7 with 1-for-20 on the power play. Hard to believe. But they realized it. This coaching staff was proactive after game 4 and realized we can't score right now, and our power play stinks right now. So if we can't score goals and our power play can't get going, which is a key component offensively in the Stanley Cup playoffs, if none of that's working, how the hell are we going to win a hockey game? How the hell are we going to try to win 3 games in a row to win this series? How? Explain. How? And you know what they decided to do? They decided, you know what? We've got to try to win this thing 2-1, 3-1. And we got to rely on this young kid who we switched it up and went to Joel Wall going into game 5. And all of a sudden, look what we've seen here. It's like I'm watching the Minnesota Wild with Jacques Lemaire and New Jersey Devils in the 90s with Jacques Lemaire. That's what I see in this Toronto team, the way they've played. They've been incredible defensively. Incredible. I don't think I've ever uttered the word incredible with a Toronto team defensively in, I don't want to say my lifetime, but it's been a while. It's been a long while. You know, since I have seen this Toronto team, you know, have, you know, all kinds of this kind of defensive precision. I mean, the forwards are back checking on every shift. You're seeing Nylander blocking shots in game 6, which I think needs to be talked about. Wonderful that he scored the 2 goals, and he was terrific, obviously, with that. 2 huge goals to win that game for Toronto offensively. But talk about what he did defensively. Talk about that he actually played strong away from the puck, that he had an active stick, that he took the body, that he was defensively responsible, that he was aware of what was going on without the puck. He was terrific in that regard in game 6. The whole team. I mean, look what we've seen from the defense, too. Simon Benoit, physicality. Jake McCabe, physicality. Willing to block a shot anywhere, anytime. Joel Edmondson, same thing. What a couple of huge shot blocks that guy had as well in game 6. The overall front to back, top to bottom team commitment defensively is something I have not seen in this Leafs team in quite some time. And you've got to credit this coaching staff and the players to buy in and the coaching staff to pivot and say, you know what? We got to change it up. We're having a hard time scoring goals in this series. It's been difficult. And Jeremy Swayman is a huge reason for that. He's been phenomenal. And Jeremy Swayman, I feel bad for him with as far as how game 6 turned out, because he was outstanding. He was terrific. He was the best Bruin in game 6. There weren't many very good Boston Bruins in game 6. Jeremy Swayman was very good again. There's no question. So, again... And you look at Toronto the last 2 games. Here's the conundrum, though. You look at Toronto the last 2 games, and you say to yourself, man, they figured it out. They really have figured it out. How to win in the playoffs, how to find a way when your back is against the wall. Defensively, you're getting it done. Goaltending from Joseph Woll has been outstanding, and it is finally been the equal of what Jeremy Swayman has delivered for the Bruins at the other end. And you could go out there and play phenomenal again defensively tonight and put yourself in a great position to win. But a bad break or two and just one little mistake, and let's say it's going to be the difference tonight that allows Boston to win this game and this series, and it's going to feel like all of this progress, you could flush it right down the fucking toilet. All for naught. Because at the end of the day, for as much of progress as this team has made as to how to play in the playoffs, how to win in the playoffs, how to find a way defensively to step it up and block more shots and be more physical. And they've shown that in the last year. It feels like they figured out the puzzle. They figured out the formula of success and the blueprint to get the job done in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They look like they figured it out. It's not going to matter, though, if you don't win and you don't finish the job tonight. That's the critical thing right here. So they look like a team that's ready for this. They look like a team that is ready to finish the job. And if you're talking about momentum coming into this game, it is on Toronto's side. It's certainly not on Boston's side. Flip it around to them. Who played well in game six? Pasta did not. Obviously, the coach agreed. He called him out after game six. Where's Pavel Zacha been in this series? Charlie Coyle. Where the hell have they been? What the hell have they gotten from the third and the fourth line in this series, Boston? Nothing. Zip. You know, Brad Marchand, after a great first few games in this series, he's not been good the last couple. He's been quiet. He hasn't done anything offensively. He's been frustrated. He's been taking bad penalties. He's been shoving officials out of the way. Frustration from the captain, which is a bad look because it filters down to the whole team. The captain, if the general leads, the troops will follow. And that's not a good way to lead right now if you're Brad Marchand with that frustration level. So I think when you look at this for Boston, from a momentum standpoint, it's all on Toronto's side going into this game. But momentum doesn't always carry over from the last game. And so, you know, this is basically me going around in circles and telling you that, look, if I'm betting this game right now, I could only look Toronto here, plus 110. I want to buy in. I want to believe that this is going to be different for them this year, but there's that but, though. And like I said, it goes back to what I said a moment ago. A lot of it's going to depend on, let's say Toronto loses tonight. If they lose, playing a game as close to as good as they played, especially defensively, the last two games, I don't think I'd have it in me to rip them pillar to post for another disappointing exit. It would be very difficult for me to do that. But if they lose, reverting back to the old Leafs, same old Leafs, and defensively, you know, giving the puck away, all of a sudden, you're giving Boston all kinds of chances, and maybe Joe Woll all of a sudden doesn't have his best game, and Boston gets it going, which they have shown they've done in the past in a couple of these game sevens when they've hosted the Leafs in the past. Then it's back to the old, this team again can't find a way to get it done. And then all that goodwill from the last two games kind of goes away with the way they've played. And here's another thing that would concern me, too, about Toronto a bit, because there's a lot that concerns me about Boston. There's a lot right now. And Brad Marchand's quote, I want to mention that. Brad Marchand's quote after game six, the old, if you would have asked me, quote. He brought that out after game six, Brad Marchand, when they asked him, you know, you blew the 3-1 series lead to Florida last year. You had a 3-1 series lead here against Toronto. You've lost game five. You've lost game six. And, you know, I think someone asked Brad after game six, how does the confidence level remain high? And he said, well, if you would have asked me before the season started that we'd have game seven on our home ice in the first round, I would have taken it. That's a negative quote. Nobody ever says, you know, And I think Jeff O'Neill hit on this on the TSN Overdrive show. Nobody fucking says that when things are going well. Well, if you would have asked me before the season started, we'd have game seven at home. Nobody says that when you're up 3-1 in the series. Or if you're 3-3 in the series, but you won the last two games. You know, it's always when things are starting to go against you a little bit that you say something like that. So, you know, it's... I don't know if the headspace is very good for Boston right now. Who the hell knows how Pasta is going to respond tonight, because he could be pissed that Montgomery kind of called him out. Although Jimmy did say on the show yesterday that apparently he heard that Monty went to Pasta after the game and said, "Hey, Pasta, you need to be better. You've got to, you're our goal scorer. You're our dynamo offensively. We need you in game seven. You need to step it up. You need to make a big goal, score a big goal, make a big play for us in game seven if we're going to win this series." And I'm going to say that to the media. Apparently that's the way it went down, that Montgomery actually went to Pasternak and said, "Hey, I'm going to say something about you in the media," and that he kind of gave him the old heads up first, you know, that he was going to do that. So, you know, that doesn't mean Pasta is still going to be happy about it. But Pasta, though, is a very competitive guy. He is. I don't think he's going to say, "You know what? This coach fucking threw me under the bus. I'm not showing up to win in game seven tonight." I can't imagine in a million years that would be his mindset. He's too good of a player. He's been too good of a player. Which is mad that his coach, you know, threw him under the bus. At least the coach, from what we've heard, went to Pasta first, said he was going to do this before he spoke to the media. So, you know, if you're a competitor, you're not letting that shit bother you. Okay? How many times has a coach called out somebody? Not just behind closed doors, but publicly as well. It's happened before. And players have responded. David Pasternak, I think, is probably going to respond in the right way tonight and have an impact. Now, how much of an impact with Toronto's defense playing as well as they have in the last two games, and Wolin net is remains to be seen. But he's going to be noticeable tonight. And that's something you couldn't have said about David Pasternak, I think, the last two games, is that he wasn't very noticeable out there. He wasn't generating all those quality chances. And I think you could tell that with the way he was playing in that. He was just and look, they've also got to make sure that they get him opportunities where he can shoot the puck and make plays, because he's a goal scorer. He's not necessarily a big-time playmaker. You've got to get him the puck in areas where he can score goals, because he's not going to drive play himself. He needs to have the puck put on a tee for him, and that's what makes him a great goal scorer. So it's going to be interesting to see if Boston can do a better job of getting Pasta some open ice and getting him the puck in areas where he can put the puck in the net. So with all that said, let's talk about tonight's lineups. It's looking like we are going to see the same goaltending matchup. That's not surprising that it's going to be a Swayman for Boston, Wolf for Toronto. It makes total sense for Jim Montgomery to stick with Swayman. He is not the reason you've lost these last two games. In fact, he's the only reason he had a chance in the last two games. Game five, Toronto could have won that game by multiple goals, if not for Jeremy Swayman. Game six, in that first period, Toronto could add a goal or two and been up early. The fact that it was 0-0 deep into the second period, that was all Jeremy Swayman. So you absolutely have to stick with him. There's no question. And I think now for Boston, we're going to find out what Jim Montgomery is all about. And I was just going to get there, J-Stone 9. We've seen Sheldon Keefe and this coaching staff make their adjustments. Without Matthews, putting Max Domi at center, creative adjustments, you know, putting Domi with Bertuzzi and Marner on that top line. We've seen Matthew Nyes get more ice time with Matthews out, and that's been a button that they pushed that's worked, because he's been awesome so far in this series, Nyes, with Tavares and Nylander. That move has worked. Connor Dewar came in game six, and I thought he had a very good game. They switched up the defensive combinations. Riley Labushkin now, Benoit McCabe, Edmondson Liljegren. Those combinations have worked. They've pushed all the right buttons. They've made great adjustments in series. So I don't want to hear, you know, about you can put a cork in Keith fire Keith for a day. Okay, maybe it, we'll revisit it if they lose tonight. But for a long time, Leaf fans have said, fire Keith. He doesn't know what he's doing. They're not playing as well as they should. I've seen this coaching staff make some tremendous adjustments in this series. And the Leafs and Keith and Boucher and Chenault and Van Rijn and that entire staff deserve all the credit for the adjustments they've made. Without Austin Matthews, I might add. They adopted a different way of playing that says, this is the way we're going to play, boys. It's the only way we're going to be able to get back into this series. The players bought in, the coaches went to it, and it's worked out. It's time to see what Jim Montgomery and Sacco and this coaching staff now has for a counter. What do you got in your bag of tricks? What have you got as far as adjustments go? Because all I've seen so far is I saw Jim Montgomery change a lineup that was winning going into game five, and then all of a sudden they have a terrible first period. I saw a Bruins team in game six that, again, for the second straight game with a chance to close out a series, was not ready to play for the second straight time. And again, that's got to fall on the coaches to some degree. Players, obviously, look, they've got to police themselves and they've got to get themselves ready to play a game of that magnitude. But you also have to blame the coaching staff. That's two games in a row they've been ill-prepared. And now they've got to counter the adjustments with the lineup, with the style of play that the Leafs have made for the good, for the betterment of their team. And you've got to find an adjustment, whether it's your lineup, whether it's the way you're playing, whether it's a tactical move here or there. You've got to find an adjustment that's going to flip things back in your favor if you're Jim Montgomery tonight. And we're going to find out if he's capable of that. We're going to absolutely find out if he's capable of that tonight. And I agree with our guy Jimmy Murphy. He might be coaching for his job tonight. They both might be. They both might be. Although, if the Leafs win an absolutely heartbreaking Game 7 where they're, you know, they have the shots edge, they're carrying the play, you know, they lose in overtime, they don't give up much, but it's a bad break goal and it's just and it ends their season. It's not to me a given that Keith's gone. Even if they lose tonight, it could still happen because it's hard to fathom that another first round exit and only one playoff series win in the last, 8 years with this core would allow Keith to stay around and there not to be changes. But I think it really is dependent upon how Toronto loses this game. You know, if they get blown out, then all bets are off. But I think if they lose a heartbreaker, it's not a given that Keith is gone, you know, at the end of the season. But for Jim Montgomery, if they lose tonight and it's 2 years in a row of blowing a 3-1 series lead, he might be out. Jimmy Murphy seems to think so. So you talk about big time stakes tonight for both of these teams. It's going to be something to watch. Let's put it that way. So I talked about the goalie matchup. Let's talk about the lineups now up front. It's looking like, well, I don't want to say anything. We know Danton Heinen was out on the morning skate for them. Don't know if he'll play, though. Toronto, who knows what their lineup's going to be. Sheldon Keefe divulged nothing. What we do know is that Austin Matthews and Bobby McMahon, two guys that have been out for, Bobby McMahon's been out the whole series, Austin Matthews the last two games, they were both present and on the ice at morning skate. But that doesn't guarantee shit. That doesn't guarantee a thing that they're in the lineup. If you ask me right now, though, the fact that at least Austin Matthews was in at the morning skate for Toronto tells me I think he's going to play. I think he'll be in there tonight. Again, I don't know. It's certainly not confirmed. Probably won't find out for sure until the pregame skate, 7:30 or so Eastern. But if you ask me right now, probably Austin Matthews plays tonight. And again, then it becomes, what's the lineup look like if Austin Matthews returns? Because, you know, you've had these combos that have worked. But be careful with saying, you know, you can't bring Austin Matthews back because this lineup without him is 2-0 and they found this new style of playing. No. If Austin Matthews is good enough to play, he's got to play. He's a game breaker. He's a 69-goal scorer. You need some offense still, and he can give that to you. And now you have him, you have Nylander, who's gotten better and better with each game and has been scoring, has been, I think, the best Leaf core forward in the playoffs the last few years? No, there's no such thing as, yeah, you sit Austin Matthews because you've won two games without him. That's absurd. That's asinine. You know, if he's ready to go, he's going to play. And he can be a game breaker for you, potentially for Toronto. So we'll wait on that. Boston, like I said, they just, Brad Marchand's got to play like he did early in the series. Charlie Coyle's got to get going. I'm with Jimmy, though. This center ice position is concerning. They're getting crushed in the faceoff circle. They've got to somehow start winning more faceoffs. Coyle, Zacha, Frederick, Boqvist, you know, that quartet of centers, you know, they've got to start winning some faceoffs. That's been an issue for the Bruins in this series as well. Pasta's got to have a Pasta-type game. So that's got to happen. And look, Charlie McAvoy's got to play better. And Lindholm and Carlo didn't even have their best game. They're a very good pair. I don't think they had their best game in game six. You know, Lowry is just a young kid. You know, he's had his moments where he's been good, but he's had his moments where he struggled in this series. But he's just a young guy. You know, and he's in this series because of Andrew Peak being out. So, you know, they need Zacha. They need Coyle. They need Brad Marchand playing like he did early in the series. And they need a big goal from Pasta. If they get those things, they can absolutely win tonight. But it's a big if, because we haven't seen Pasta have a great series. We haven't seen Marchand play good the last few games. We haven't seen anything from Coyle and Zacha in this whole series, essentially, pretty much. Side, I think Zacha made a nice pass to Pasternak in game one or game two of this series. Other than that, he's had a really tough series for the Boston Bruins. So I am not betting Toronto. I am not betting Boston. In fact, but if you ask me which is the more detestable option, it would be laying any sort of price with Boston right now in their current form. So by default, my lightest of leans would be to Toronto. But what I am going to bet here pregame is the draw. This smells like overtime. You got one team that's 0-6 in game sevens, one team that's 0-6 in their last six series clinching games. Who the hell trusts either of these teams to win easily tonight? And remember, Boston, Florida, last year, game seven, overtime to decide it. It would not at all shock me or surprise me tonight if we're talking overtime again in a game seven with the Boston Bruins. So plus 320 for the draw. That's the only bet for me, is the draw in this game, plus 320 from a side perspective. I told you with the price where it is right now, it would be only Toronto for me, plus 110. But I'll pick a side, Nick. That's my side. I'm picking Toronto, plus 110, but I'm not betting it. There's very difference between a pick and a bet. This is a pick, Toronto plus 110. The bet is nothing, because I've still got to see it. I think from a totals perspective, I know it's an elimination game, and I look for live overs, especially with whoever's trailing, especially in a game seven. Whoever's trailing, doesn't matter, because both teams facing elimination. You can look at a live over, but that's the only over I'm touching in this game. Live over in the third if someone's trailing. Other than that, I would bet it under 5.5. What I would really bet is the first period under in this game. I think it's going to be cagey again. The goalie's playing at the top of their game right now, Joe Woll and Jeremy Swayman. I think first period under in a game like this is probably an even more prudent approach if you like unders in this game. Because if you bet the first period under more than the full game under, or you bet the first period under, just the first period under and not the full game under, you avoid the empty net shenanigans you might see in the third period of this game. So that's why, you know, as far as the total goes, you know, it's hard to bet over right now in this series. I mean, with just how, and the way the Leafs have adopted this 1-3-1, clog things up, keep things to the outside, you know, defensive, shell that they play. I shouldn't say a shell, because a shell means you're not attacking. Toronto's still attacking, and they showed it in game six. The shots were, 15-1 for the Toronto Maple Leafs at one point. They've been attacking, playing this defensive style, but the attack mode for Toronto has not come at the expense of the defensive structure, and that is definitely a departure from what we've seen out of the Toronto Maple Leafs in the last several playoff years. So I think first period under makes sense. It's a very cagey, tight, lower scoring start, just like game five, just like game six. And again, if you take the first period under, or you defer more to the first period under than the full game under, you're going to avoid any sort of potential for goal scoring explosions late in the game. If it's, say, 1-0 Toronto or 2-0 Toronto or 1-0 Boston or 2-0 Boston in the third period. And obviously you would then get the goalie pulled early. And that's when, you know, you could get some, that's when the full game under could get a little hairy and get a little, you know, nerve wracking if you're on that. So that's the approach for me. Just the draw for me as a bet, but for a pick, because people want to hear if I had to pick which team I like more, it's just, especially with the price being what it is, it would be Toronto. As far as the props in this game, that's where my focus is going to be. Player props for tonight. I'm going to go David Pastrnak over shots on goal, and I'm going to ladder his shots on goal. I think he's firing tonight. He's got to. It's got to be Wyatt Earp. You need to be a game breaker, just like Austin Matthews was in game two for Toronto, and just like William Nylander was in game six for Toronto. You've got to be a game breaker. So I'm going to go with the old ladder approach here for David Pastrnak, you know, over 3.5 shots, over 4.5 shots, over 5.5 shots, over 6.5 shots. Like I say, I think he's going to be firing that puck. But is the puck going to go in? With the way Toronto's defending and the way Joe Woll's playing, I'm not so sure. So this is one of those nights where definitely, and with the lack of offense we've seen in some of these elimination games, especially the two games last night, with what we've seen, lack of punch offensively in the last two games of this series, definitely I'm more interested in shots on goal tonight than normal, and absolutely more interested in shots on goal with certain players than actual goal props and assist props and point props, you know, in a game like this. So, like I said, I think it's a Pastrnak, high-volume shooting type of night, called out by his coach. He needs to be better, and I think he responds the right way. And I think it probably did piss him off that he got called out by Monty, but I think he is a competitor and he wants to win game seven and advance in the playoffs. I can't imagine him just saying, you know what, fuck this guy and calling me out in front of the media. I'm not going to play hard tonight. I can't imagine Pastrnak, of all people, being like that. So, yeah, you can get over 4.5 at plus 130, over 5.5 at plus 270. You can go all the way up. I know Bet365. You can go all the way up to over 8.5 shots on goal for David Pastrnak at plus 1,200. So, you know, Pasta definitely, I think, will be a high-volume shooter here tonight. For Toronto, it's especially if Matthews, let's say Matthews is out again. Nylander is going to be a volume shooter, you would think, tonight for them. So his shot and his shots on goal, whether Matthews plays or not, Nylander I like. Nylander shots. I'm not as bullish on the latter, you know, shots on goal for Nylander as I am for David Pastrnak, but you certainly could consider it. Max Domi, Tyler Bertuzzi, shots on goal candidates for sure. Maybe Brad Marchand, who's, you know, he's the captain. You've got to envision that he's got to take a lot more aggressive approach and ownership tonight, you know, in a game of this magnitude. So, that's a great point there. Excellent point. That's the problem here with Pasta, too. He's not a playmaker. He needs a good center, a good playmaker to get him the puck in areas where he can score, areas where he's got, you know, open ice, areas where he can score. And for years, that's Patrice Bergeron doing that for him. You know who he's got doing that for him this year? Zacha. Zacha's not the playmaker and the center that Bergeron is. We all know that. And if you're wondering, you know, why all of a sudden, as the ice has gotten, you know, compressed and defenses and shot blocking has ramped up, why it's more difficult for Pasta to score, you just don't have that elite playmaking center that you used to have with you. Zacha's not at that level when it comes to playmaking like Patrice Bergeron was. So, you know, we'll see. But definitely, I think when you look at this here, should be interesting. You know what I like here? Someone in the chat here, Michael, he's going the opposite here. Over 5.5, first period over. It's nice to see someone's on an island thinking it's maybe higher scoring than people think. I wish it was, because, you know, I like overs, but man, even for me, it's difficult, you know, as far as trusting these two teams to get the job done offensively right now. There's no question. But I like that you're going. I'll say with this, if you like over 5.5, you're getting like plus 125, plus 130. You're getting a great price. Absolutely. And I think if you like an over, just full game. First period, I think it's going to be very slow starting once again with the goals. For full game over, I think you have a chance because you could see a 2 or 3 goal margin, and then the goalie gets pulled early, and then the explosion happens, and you get goals. You get maybe the team trailing puts one in, they pull the goalie again, and then there's an empty netter or two. So, like I said, if you like over in this game at all, full game is your, I think, best look as opposed to early, the first period. So that would be the way I would go about it here. Blocked shots. Yeah, obviously we should see some. It's a game 7. Jake McCabe, you know, over 1.5 blocked shots. You could ladder his blocked shot props at Bet365 and others. Jake McCabe, you know, blocked shot candidate. Could do like a little same game parlay of blocked shots, you know, with McAvoy, Carlo, Riley, McCabe, Labushkin. You know, all of those players are available at most books as far as block shot props. There's going to be a lot of them tonight. It's game 7. You do whatever it takes to get your body in front of every puck and help out your goalie. There's no question. So, you know, McAvoy, Carlo for Boston, you know, they're available as players you can bet for block shots for Boston. McCabe, Labushkin for the Toronto Maple Leafs, Morgan Riley as well. So, like I said, it's going to be a night where you would expect commitment to blocking shots, to doing everything possible to help out your goalie to be there. So, like I said, block shot props you shouldn't ignore them in the playoffs anyway, but especially in a game of this magnitude, especially in a game 7, shot block props are definitely worth a look. I wish I could give you something great for point props and goal props, but I would keep those very light because I just don't know how many goals we're going to see tonight. But if I were to go with, I'm going to keep it to Nylander, Marchand, DeBrusk's been good at times in this series. Maybe this is a night Pasternak finally lights the lamp. Matthew Nye's probably a small sprinkle at, you know, plus 400, plus 450. He's been so noted. Like, he's been hitting everything in sight. He's been going to the net. He scored the overtime winner in game 5. Those would be some of the goal props I'd be considering. But again, keep them small. I can't stress that enough. In a series where goals have been hard to come by, you know, Coyle's had chances. Can this be the night for Coyle, Nick? We'll see. But he's got to step his game up, too. You know, Jim Montgomery was okay calling out Pasta. He didn't say shit about Coyle. He should have. Coyle's got to step it up, too, for the Boston Bruins tonight if they're going to advance. But there you go. I don't think I have much more to add for Game 7 tonight other than I can't wait to watch it. It really should be something else. It's two franchises with utmost pressure on their shoulders to get the job done here in a game of this magnitude tonight. Shout out to everyone in the chat. Hit the like button. We appreciate it very much. A reminder, make sure you sign up patreon.com/iceguys. Just $10 per month. Again, you can get our goalie charts, totals charts, bonus content, our daily sides, totals, and player props are posted on the page each and every day. We will have a bunch more Patreon exclusive live betcast. Several more before the end of the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll announce the full May betcast schedule definitely by Monday. And what we will say now is we, again, have that first betcast of the second round coming up Monday or Tuesday. It will be free for all, though. That one will not be a Patreon exclusive, but we will have many Patreon exclusive live betcasts moving forward May and into June. The rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And again, the only way to tune in and join us on those Patreon exclusive live betcasts is to sign up patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. And make sure you check out the Ice Guys store as well. Get your gear and your merch at iceguys.myspreadshop.com. All right, bargain bin special of the night and best bets coming up in just a moment, right after we hear from our great sponsors.
Yeah.
All right, Boston Hemp Inc., make sure you check them out. Get 20% off all orders on the website using the promo code ICEGUYS at bostonhempinc.com. All right, bargain bin special of the night. What a job by Jimmy Murphy yesterday, giving us Noah Hanifin, Vegas Golden Knights, plus 800 for his bargain bin special of the night for Friday. Tremendous call by Jimmy. I'm doing something very much. Look, it's game seven. I don't know how many goals and points they're going to be across the board. So we're staying away from that. We're doing something a little bit different here tonight. And we are going to talk about a concept that we talked about recently on this or just a few moments ago. This is a game where I think if they're going to go down Boston, and if he's going to go down personally in this series, he's going to go down firing the puck a lot. Especially when he gets called out by Jim Montgomery, especially when he knows he's the leading goal scorer on this Bruins team. I expect him to be shooting the puck a ton. Now, look, there's a lot of blocked shots in a game seven. You got to hope some of these pucks and these shot attempts that he has get through to the net, or else you're in trouble with this bet. But I think it's worth a shot, and it's what I'm going with for bargain bin special of the night. We're going to take alternative shots on goal. David Pastrnak, Boston Bruins, over 6.5 shots on goal. So over 6.5 shots on goal, that's 7 shots or more, plus 525 for David Pastrnak tonight for the Boston Bruins. Plus 525, David Pastrnak, over 6.5 shots on goal. That's what I'm going to go with for my bargain bin special of the night. And it's directly correlated to my best bet for this game, which is also David Pastrnak shots on goal. But I'm going the safer route. David Pastrnak over 4.5 shots on goal, plus 130. That's going to be my best bet for this Saturday game 7, Leafs Bruins. So we're going with the 6.5 over for Pastrnak, bargain bin at plus 525. Best bet is going to be the safer version of that. David Pastrnak over 4.5 shots on goal, plus 130 for my best bet here for this Saturday game 7, Leafs Bruins. All right, that's a wrap. Shout out to everyone in the chat. Hit the like button. We appreciate it very much. Can't wait for game 7. Reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms. I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Saturday night. Enjoy Leafs Bruins game 7. And we'll be back with you tomorrow on Sunday for another edition of the Ice Guys.